Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
This podcast was produced on Tuesday, November 25th. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like we won't have to play this anymore.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, Ted Knight, your wait is over. Tim Ryan finally makes his decision. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who announce news they want us to hear on a Monday, but announce perhaps disappointing news on a Friday. I'm Mike Thompson. Welcome to this special edition of Snollygoster. We were going to take the week off for the Thanksgiving holiday, but Tim Ryan made an announcement on the eve of the holiday week. On Friday morning, perhaps disappointing news, but on Friday morning, the former congressman, former presidential candidate, and former U.S. Senate candidate announced he will not run for governor. In a statement released by his campaign, Ryan said, quote, "After careful consideration, much prayer and reflection, and after long conversations with my family, my closest friends and advisors, I've made the decision not to run for governor in 2026. That means both major parties have their primary candidates, Republican Vivek Ramaswamy and Democrat Amy Acton. After Ryan's announcement, Acton's campaign released a statement saying she is focused on Ramaswamy in lowering costs for Ohioans. To look deeper into this decision, we welcome a panel of Statehouse insiders, reporter Andrew Tobias of Signal Statewide, Republican strategist Terry Casey, and progressive activist Morgan Harper. You know, she ran against Tim Ryan in the Democratic Senate primary a couple years ago.
Andrew Tobias, it seemed like Tim Ryan was going back and forth, at least based on tea leaves and his own social media messages. What do you think ultimately led to his decision not to do it?
I think there's a lot of potential factors. It's been a long time. I think maybe he missed his window to make the biggest impact. I think earlier on, there were concerns among Democrats about whether Amy Acton was a strong enough candidate to lead the ticket. I think as time has gone on, Democrats I talked to feel better and better about that. You've seen a couple of polls come out recently, including one that was produced by a teachers union that I think supports Acton, even though they don't officially do it, showing her leading Vivek Ramaswamy, or at least tied with him in polls. So I think some of those viability arguments have kind of closed. And then Sherrod Brown might have endorsed Acton in the race. Ryan had some private clients that might have posed personal problems for him. So just I think a lot of things came together, and ultimately he decided not to run.
Morgan, candidates, I think it's very simple. Candidates decide to run or not run based on whether they think they can win or not. I mean, there were polls showing that he was going to lose to Amy Acton in the primary.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tim Ryan was going to have to reckon in that primary with his last campaign for Senate, where he did make a decision that he was going to try to do what he believed would woo Republican voters. And he upset a lot of Democrats in Ohio with the type of campaign he ran. And I don't know that that was necessarily going to go well for him. And I imagine that you're right, that that was part of the factor here. But I also agree that I think when you're a lobbyist for certain industries as your career, and you want to choose one political party to run for, that it makes it a little bit complicated for those clients, and that might have been part of this calculation as well.
In a normal cycle, Terry, this wouldn't be that late, but this time it is kind of late because, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy announced a long time ago, Amy Acton announced a long time ago, and we're still many months before the filing deadline, at least a few months anyway.
Well, there still could be time, but remember the old saying dealing with Watergate, follow the money. And part of his problem is his main money sources right now are from cryptocurrency and natural gas. He didn't want to cut those off. He needed the money to financially support his family and his house in suburban Columbus. And also in a Democrat primary, being on the payroll of crypto and natural gas doesn't help you win. So he realized it was a long shot to win. And again, he followed the money because he wanted to keep the cash flow.
So Amy Acton released a statement today basically saying she's focused on Vivek Ramaswamy and affordability. Tim Ryan released a statement why he's not running. Neither of them mentioned each other, which I thought was odd. Ryan didn't endorse Acton. Acton didn't, you know, praise Ryan. Is there anything there? Do they not like each other?
I think Acton's campaign was frustrated with, not that I think they would have loved Ryan to get in, but I think the fact that he didn't make a decision for so long is kind of hanging over their heads. I think that also frustrated them even more. So I don't think that Tim Ryan's going to be getting a Christmas card anytime soon from the Acton campaign.
But Morgan, why not endorse Amy Acton in his statement today? I wish Amy Acton the best. Let's all get behind Amy Acton as she runs against Vivek Ramaswamy. He didn't say that.
Did not. Great question for him. But I'm imagining that Amy Acton's not losing a lot of sleep over it. I bet her campaign is focused on building towards the primary, or now not having to worry about the primary, to the general election. And look, I mean, like I said, the last campaign rubbed a lot of people the wrong way that Tim ran, and I think that folks are ready to look ahead.
Are Republicans happy that Tim Ryan's not in the race? Disappointed?
It's hard to say. I mean, one of the problems, if you notice from the announcement from Amy Acton today, two of her big things were she's promised change, but like when she was on your OSU radio show a month and a half back, she doesn't say change to what and how to pay for all these things. And then she also seemed to promise somehow as governor of Ohio, she could reduce inflation and reduce consumer costs. I'm not sure in the Ohio Constitution, governors of Ohio have that power. So be interested to see. Now we shift to the specifics of the campaign. What are you going to do as governor on property taxes, on school foundation formula, running the prisons, running operations, keeping the snow plows running? Governor's different than just being an ideologue running for Congress, president, or Senate.
She wouldn't be the first politician to not offer specifics and also make wild promises, would she?
Well, there's a long tradition in American politics and recently of people doing that. But still, when you've never been on city council or school board or county commissioner or state rep, legitimately people want to know what's your experience. Can you really run something as complicated, not just state government, but dealing with all the units of local government, everything that's involved in Ohio?
Primaries, the wisdom is parties want to avoid primaries. But primaries do a couple of things, Morgan. They sharpen candidates' message. They allow them to make mistakes, perhaps when there are fewer people paying attention. Would a primary have done Amy Acton a little bit of good, perhaps?
Well, I mean, you can check out my record and know that I believe in good primary.
Yes.
I think there are some benefits, but this is going to be a huge fight. Vivek Ramaswamy has been able to consolidate all of the support on the Republican side. He is very well funded. And so not having to spend a lot of financial resources or brain power on getting through a primary and just being able to refine the targeting and the attacks on Vivek, I think make a lot of sense. But the most important thing for Amy Acton and her campaign to continue to keep in mind is that people are looking for that vision, like we've talked about before. I don't think that if we're going based on experience in the state of Ohio and working here, I'm not sure that Vivek is really the selling point for anyone, but it is going to be a fight. He's a very savvy campaigner, and she's going to have to be ready for it.
Andrew, the speculation now moves to lieutenant governor picks. People don't vote for lieutenant governor, but it can help their campaign. Who do you these are two outsiders, Vivek Ramaswamy and Amy Acton, more or less outsiders. Do they go with state house insiders as their running mates?
Yeah, I know if you sort of talk to people in Capitol Square about what Ramaswamy might do, there are a few names of people who are existing elected officials, and the idea is that he's the business guy, so he would need somebody who understands state government better. I actually don't hear a lot about who Acton might be picking and as her lieutenant governor. I was talking with somebody today, and I think people would be pretty hard-pressed to remember who lieutenant governor candidates are in the past on Democratic tickets, too. I mean, so it's often not who you think. You know, you might think it would be somebody who's more of a well-known name. So it's the decisions that go into these things. I just bring that up to say often it's you don't see it coming. So it's hard to speculate.
I'm going to steal from my final prediction. I'll have to come up with a new one at the end. But Amy's probably going to go with either David Pepper because he's a good attack dog, knows something about state government and local government, and he could raise money, or the Cleveland mayor because the Democrat ticket is lacking any representation from the African-American community.
And Mayor Justin Bibb of Cleveland would pair Amy Acton up with a popular Democrat from Northeast Ohio, someone to perhaps energize that crucial Democratic area, because if Democrats don't do that, they don't win statewide in Ohio. Now that the field is settled, it could be one of the more interesting campaigns for governor that we've had in a while. Voters say they want fresh faces and fresh voices. Well, they're going to get them. Neither Acton nor Ramaswamy has held elective office. They come from outside Capitol Square for the most part. They both have very unique stories to tell. Even if current polls show Acton tied or even slightly ahead of Ramaswamy, she's a Democrat running statewide in pretty red Ohio. Amy Acton is an underdog. She is really nice. Can she sharpen her tongue enough to effectively criticize Ramaswamy and Republicans? Can she criticize her former boss, Mike DeWine? She's been reluctant to do that. Does her work for Governor DeWine during the COVID pandemic help or hurt her? Ramaswamy is closely tied to President Trump. He endorsed him right away, which cleared the way for him to be the Republican candidate for governor, forcing Dave Yost, the attorney general, to step aside. President Trump, of course, his approval rating is at an all-time low, even for him. Is Ohio still Trump country? Will it be a year from now? Ramaswamy hopes so. Ramaswamy is a billionaire, a very successful businessman. Does his business success help him, or does it highlight income inequality, which is a big issue for a lot of voters? And this is something that hasn't really been talked about a lot. It probably won't be a huge issue in the campaign, but there is the religion issue. Neither candidate is Christian. It's perhaps a first for Ohio. Acton is Jewish. Ramaswamy is Hindu. My guess is neither candidate will make religion an issue in the campaign, but others and voters might. As I said, this will be an interesting campaign. I expect it will be a substantive campaign focused more on the economy than on social and cultural issues. I don't believe transgender rights will be a huge issue in this coming campaign as it was in 2024. That will be something to look forward to, a substantive campaign about issues that truly matter to most Ohioans. My thanks to that panel, progressive activist Morgan Harper, Republican strategist Terry Casey, and political reporter Andrew Tobias of Signal Statewide. That is it for this bonus edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. We hope you have a wonderful, restful, and if you choose, a politics-free Thanksgiving. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.